are listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
Fans, it is the Forza Podcast. It is Sunday, July, what day is it? 25th? Is it the 25th? All right, yeah. Sunday, July 25th. We are 42 days away from Canes football. Good to be back on the podcast. I am Marsh, and as always, I'm joined by my boy, my producer, and my co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, hi, miss you.
I miss you more.
Yeah, how you been?
I'm good. It's, I'm good. Hey, I just want to point out that my favorite basketball player in the world, Rudy Gobert, held Team USA to 80 points this morning. 176 points to be exact.
Bro, so. How embarrassing is that Team USA? Dude, it's despicable. It's so embarrassing.
I don't care about the French national team, but I have that.
Yeah, I mean, we can't talk about Gobert on this podcast because you'll get ripped.
That's right.
People will come after you. But, dude, we're like a month and a half away from football.
Isn't that crazy?
Fall camp starts on August 6th, and I'm sure we'll do an episode before that, just kind of talking about the storylines, things like that. But, like, it's here.
Yeah.
I am getting to that point in the off season. Oh my God, my dog just spilt my Powerade all over my bed. Oh, hell. Oh, and just for your guys' information, I'm doing this episode holding my phone like I'm on a phone call because my dog spilt a drink that I won't name on the show on my laptop, which broke. And I can't get the speaker on my phone to work, so I'm doing this episode like a phone call. So that's fun. But now I have red Powerade all over my bed.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know why I bought red Powerade. But, can you feel it, man? It's football season.
Honestly, for whatever reason, maybe it's just because my personal life is stressed, like, it doesn't feel like football season yet, you know? Like, I'm too worried about adulting, you know, figuring out where I'm going to live for the next year.
I keep up, you know, with the Canes and everything, but, like, besides recruiting, there's nothing going on right now except, like, players announcing the deals with, like, the NIL, which is awesome, by the way.
I love it. I think it's awesome.
Dude, did Cam Harris get a Lamborghini? Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, I saw it, but I don't know anything about it.
Is that his? Like,
I don't know. I'm kind of shocked that he would get enough NIL money to buy a Lamborghini. But
yeah, within like a week.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, though, that a Lamborghini dealership, like, gave it to him to drive around. I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything.
I drive a Honda Accord. So, but dude, and also, Bryce Young, the quarterback for Alabama that we'll be going up against soon, pray for us, dude. Coach Saban said that he, like, Bryce Young is going to be making like upwards of like $1 million.
That's crazy.
Which means that that kind of a deal, you are going to be like, you'll be making more playing college football than some of the Hurricanes in the past several years that have left college early, like, and undrafted free agents and everything. Isn't that kind of strange?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I like it a lot, personally. I think guys like De'Eriq King, who, I mean, if we're honest, he's probably not going to get a great shot at the NFL. You know, maybe
at least playing quarterback, probably not.
Yeah, and, you know, it typically doesn't work out very well for guys that switch to wide receiver either. You know, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I hope he can figure it out. I'm not trying to write him off. I'm just saying, like, in all likelihood, you know, his days of being a household name probably don't go much past college.
And we're not bashing on De'Eriq King. It's just, of course, kind of the fact. I mean, Ryan Roberts, our draft guy, he said the same thing.
Yeah. But the point I'm trying to make, though, is that, like, I'm glad that King gets to cash in, because he deserves to, right? Like, he's a game-breaking player. He brings in a ton of money for the university, for the sport. He is a household name. So, like, you should be compensated for that. I'm really happy for him that he gets to in his last year.
Absolutely. And I can't remember who – I think someone said on Twitter, one of the players, that De'Aaron King, he's faster now than before his injury.
Interesting.
Yeah, which would be great because, I mean, I assume he's – I don't know. Have you heard if he's, like, cleared for fall camp?
I have not.
I'm sure he will be, but yeah. – I keep forgetting that he's rehabbing.
Yeah.
Like I forget that he tore his ACL last year.
I saw everyone saying that Jake Garcia was going to start day one though.
oh boy. No. then you'll get the TVD fans mad.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sorry. It's actually TVD that's starting day one. Yeah.
Bro, that is going I am not excited. I mean, I'm excited, but I'm not looking forward to the war that will go on, but like in this fan base when Jake and Tyler battle for the starting job next year.
Well, dude, it was so terrible when it was like a three-way thing between Jaren Williams and Cozy and Tate.
Oh, that was so bad.
Hashtag Tate train for life. I'm still on the Tate train.
Cozy hive.
Right. Dude, mm-hmm. Did Tate end up anywhere? Has he committed to play anywhere?
No. What's I mean, I heard like I haven't heard anything recently, but last time I checked, I heard like he may be going to UNLV, which I could see happening. He's from Vegas, and he's not going to get a shot at a big school again. So
yeah, well, if I were him, he should only go to a place that like promises him the starter job, you know, because clearly for whatever reason he's struggling in a practice setting, you know. Mm-hmm. So he just needs to go to a program that will guarantee him the starting spot and, just let him work his magic and see if it translates to college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. That was such a weird.
But he needs to get on that, dude. Like, fall camp is starting, unless he's not going to play this year and planning to do it next year.
I kind of feel bad for him just because, like, his college experience has been so insane.
I definitely feel bad for him. And you know what the sad part is if Urban Meyer would have stayed at Ohio State and he played quarterback there, he probably still would have gone. Like, he probably would have been the starting quarterback and led them to New Year's Six Bowls.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, maybe not won a national championship or a Heisman, but I definitely think they still would have won 10 plus games a year with him at QB.
Dude, Urban loved Tate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Dude, that was such a... I think about that 29. I was telling you before this, but I was on a Zoom call with some Canes fans last night, and we were talking about the 2019 season.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, that was the worst, most up and down, like just horrendous year ever as a Hurricanes fan. Like, cause it started. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm like going off on a tangent and just reminiscing, but like it started with like Manny Diaz being hired as head coach, and then the Dan Enos era. Well,
but remember, like, Manny's hiring was kind of weird at the time, too. It wasn't just, like, a normal hiring thing. It was kind of, like, dubious, you know? And now I'm not saying that we shouldn't have gotten Manny, but the whole thing was really weird. You know, Mark Richt leaving, and then, like, 80 hours later, Manny was head coach. You know, they didn't even interview anyone else.
I think they announced it that – because I remember it was the day before New Year's Eve. I was driving to Denver with my friends for New Year's Eve.
Uh-huh.
Right before we lost service, I saw on Twitter, like, Coach Rick is leaving. And I'm like, at the time, I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
I was like,
it was time. I'm a big Coach Rick stan, but when he stepped down, I thought it was time.
Yeah. The way that year ended, like, with the whole quarterback controversy with Rogier and Cozy and then getting shellacked by Wisconsin. The offense was horrible. Yep. But yeah, Rick left. And then a few hours later, Manny's hired, and that was quick. And then I think that was the first year of the transfer portal.
Uh-huh.
And so Tate comes and Bubba comes and Jalen Phillips comes. So and then the season starts. God.
I hated that year. Do you remember that first Dan Enos drive against Florida?
Dude, I was in the stands. I'm like, oh my God, this is what I've been waiting for. Dude, like, I've been so patient.
I was watching it sitting on a hotel room bed in Catalina. Just like, I actually dipped out of my brother's wedding early to see to watch that game. I'm such a bad brother. But dude, just, I was so excited to see that drive. And then, yeah, that was the best moment of the whole year.
Yeah. It was a field goal.
Florida.
Dude, oh, that drive. And it's funny, like, how many people, like, talk about that opening drive. Because it was so different from what we had seen.
Yeah.
And it was fast-paced, and we literally did not see that for the rest of the season.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I remember they threw a bubble screen to Brevin. Like, no huddle bubble screen to Brevin, and I had to change my pants after. And we never saw it again.
No, we just saw line up under center and play action screen and safety. Good Lord. But anywho, this season is starting soon.
Yep.
And we're in the Lashley era again.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, year two of the Lashley era, which underrated storyline, that could be a big deal. You know, like, I mean, I'm referring to myself as well. You know, I was hard on the offense a little bit last year, even though I'm still happy with Coach Lashley. But, you know, I think it's overlooked how little time the team got to spend together on the field preseason of last year due to COVID.
And I don't think people talked about that aspect enough, like, because spring camp, mm-hmm. like, it happened for a week and they –
Yeah,
there like was no off-season training and things like that. And so, and yeah, we watched the first game together, and I think we scored 31 on UAB, but you and I were both kind of unimpressed with the offense. But I mean, and the thing is, I love Rhett Lashley. Like, I think he's great, but I'm not ready to, like, I see people on Twitter saying that this offense should average 40 points a game.
Yeah.
And I think that is insane. 40 points a game?
Yeah.
I just don't see, like, if we could get, like, if we average 35 points a game, that would be incredible.
What were we last year? 34?
I don't know. I'm on my phone. I can't
think
check.
It was 34 last year, but
was it 34?
I think. Hold on, let me check.
But I mean, the offense was just really, it was up and down. Like, I remember, like, very obviously, like, down. The Louisville game and the Florida State game and the NC State game was good, but then we struggled against Virginia Tech. The Virginia game we really struggled. So
let's see. When was this article posted? Oh, that's mid October. So that's only half the season. Halfway through the season, we were averaging 33 points a game.
I think we finished around 34. That sounds about right. But
yeah,
I don't know. I think people are, and I'm excited about this offense, but I think you and I are on the same boat. Like, take for instance the offensive line. I think people are overhyping our offensive line
for sure.
A lot.
Absolutely. And you know, like, I get that it's very experienced, and we should improve, right? The problem, though, is that we've had the same starting line. This will be about 3 years in a row where we've mostly had the same pieces, the same players, the same contributors. And they were like 119th or something, and then they moved up to 90th last year. So that's significant improvement. But, you know, what are we going to do, move up to 50 this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's still not like
– And that's like huge. I mean, imagine moving up a third, you know, like,
but no, like I think Zion Nelson, like he's obviously a very good left tackle, but, and Navon Donaldson coming back is going to be big. But besides those two, like Corey Gaynor is mid, like, let's be completely real. You know, he's a good leader and a good captain of the, good captain for the team, but he's an average center. DJ Scaife apparently is the leader at right tackle right now. And okay. I
like that unit's experienced. I like that we have some depth. You know, I'm still confident in Coach Justice. I do not think that position group will be a strength for the team. I think it will be solid, But I do not think by any means that we're going to get the hype of that 2017 Notre Dame offensive line. You know, like,
yeah,
we're not going to stifle a pass rush. It just might be that, you know, De'Aaron King has some time to make some plays.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just wanted to put that out there because someone came out with the rankings of the ACC offensive line. I think they put Miami at number 4, and I saw people upset. And I'm like, guys, like, our offensive line, like you said, it was still, like, in terms of, I think it was, like, sacks per game allowed or something like that. 90. We were, like, 90th.
Yeah.
That's not good.
And that's with an incredibly mobile quarterback. Like, how many spots? So we moved up 30 spots between 19 and 20, right? 2019, 2020. How many of those spots are actually because of De'Aaron King? And not because of good line play. Like, that's what I want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope Justice stays around for long, like a few more years, because I want to see what he can do with the players that he recruited.
Yeah. He's been recruiting incredibly. Like, the future is bright at offensive line. It's just not, it's not going to be a group of all
Americans. We're just not there yet. Like, that we're a premier offensive line team.
Agreed.
From where we were 2 years ago with the worst offensive line in the country, we've come, you know, leaps and bounds, but
I think people,
the problem with Canes fans is that they just want to see instant, like, they just want to see, like, a complete 180.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well, instantly. And it's the hype culture, too, you know, like, there's, like, you have to be circling the wagons and bragging about something, you know, and the offensive line ain't it.
No, yeah. Okay, so, Sporting News, the media outlet, came out with their preseason rankings, and I think they came out today, and our Miami Hurricanes are number 19.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's fair. I think that is more like a not an accurate ranking of, like, we're the 19th best team in the country. But I think it's probably closer to, we'll probably finish around 19, right? Because the rankings aren't a true test of how good you actually are. It just kind of reflects your performance against your schedule. And
I like that.
Yeah, like, we have a very, very, very easy schedule this year.
You know what? We really do.
Yeah.
Like, besides Alabama, which I said, like, why are we playing them? I still don't understand that. But besides Alabama at UNC, like, those are the two, like, those are, like, by far our two hardest games. You have NC State at home. That's probably going to be our third toughest. Florida State, you know, in Tallahassee, that could always – people are saying that we're going to win by a lot, and it very well could happen, but you never know what could happen in these rivalry games.
Yep.
So – but, no, we do – if this team – doesn't win 9 games, I don't know what to do.
I'm gonna be upset if we don't win 10, because last year I felt like we beat teams that we were better than.
Yeah,
you know, and credit to Manny, like, that is something that had been missing from Miami football for a long time, right? We had an inability to beat teams that were worse than us consistently, but Manny Diaz changed that last year. You know, we only lost 3 games, and we lost to 3 teams that were better than us, right?
Yes.
You know, we only play 2 teams again that, you know, Alabama's definitely better than us. UNC, I think it's arguable. They will have far and away the best player on the field, though, in Sam Howell. You know, so I will just say that UNC is better than us, okay? Because they're ranked higher, whatever, right? Like, we should only lose 2 games. And if we don't, then that means we regressed. And we shouldn't regress because we brought back our whole team. Like, we need to do better.
Yeah. And people keep getting mad at me because I keep predicting 8-4. But I just can't get myself to say we're going 10-2 or 9-3.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just in the... I've been hurt too many times, man. I'm sorry. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I have to be honest.
I feel you. I really do. I'm actually predicting 10-2, and that's
the standard. God.
No, I am. Like, I'm predicting 10-2, but you know what? Like, if we go 8-4, I'm gonna be pissed.
Like,
I will be calling for fundamental changes in the program if we go 8-4. There's no room for it this year. Like, dude, this is the most experienced roster that Manny Diaz will ever coach, ever. We have a seventh-year right tackle on the line. I'm dead serious. Like, I know. 25 years old.
Well, he we were just talking about it. He, because Scaife apparently is leading that that battle. Like, that's where the experience doesn't really meet up with me, because Jared Williams is a seventh-year starting right tackle, but he's not going to start.
Yeah. Well, but then you have a sixth-year starting quarterback. Your lead receiver is a fifth-year guy that played all 5 years. You just have to do it this year. I mean, is Cam Harris, he's in his fifth year, isn't he, or is it his fourth?
This is his fourth.
Okay, but you get what I'm saying, though, is, like, because of COVID, we have, like, fully matured grown men that are your age all across the roster.
Yeah.
Like,
that's crazy that I could be playing for the Hurricanes right now.
Yeah, there is no excuse. You know, and not every team is like that. We're returning way more talent than most teams, you know? So I don't want to hear any arguments that, like, every team has that. It's like we're still returning more talent than just about anybody.
Well, and the thing is, like, I say 8-4, but this team is more than capable of winning 10 games.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason. Like, if we go 8-4, if my prediction is right, I will be livid.
Yeah. I'll be mad too, and we'll need some changes because, you know, looking ahead to the way that our roster will be constructed, like, I feel like 2022 is going to be a pretty rough season. And I know that, you know, 8-4, Manny is not getting fired in the offseason. There's no way. However, I do think that it will set the stage for a very inexperienced 2022 team to go like 7-5, and then that's when we show Manny the door.
Yeah, I think, like, this is because next year is going to be somewhat of a rebuilding year because you know, we're not going to have a true starting quarterback. Yep. You know, we'll be losing Harley and probably Mallory and Cam Harris and
perhaps Rambo.
Yeah, Rambo, Bubba Bolden,
and Zion and Navon
and Nesta.
Yeah.
And Ivy and Blake.
Yep. And probably Tyreek Stevenson if he's
Holy
good.
Holy shit. We are in trouble next year.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. I've been saying it all offseason. I was like, dude, 2022 is going to be horrible. So, like,
of that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. There's no excuses for Manny Diaz to not win 10 games, get us to a New Year's Six Bowl, and just show out. Because, you know what? If he doesn't, I think people have misunderstood me because I've said a few times in the offseason, if Manny does not get us to New Year's Six Bowl or to the ACC Championship game, that he's essentially putting one of the final nails in his coffin. And it's because of that, right? Thinking if he does not get some type of achievement or accomplishment to hang his hat on this season, it's going to be really rough waters the next year. And he will have no reason to make his case. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, and if he struggles this year, then next year, like, it is going to be a must win. Like, he's on the hot seat and he's not going to have a team capable of delivering what people are expecting.
Yep. Cause then we'll say, hey dude, you only lost 2 games 2 years ago and now you've just lost 5 in the regular season. And then, you know, if he can say, hey, but that Orange Bowl berth, then we're like, oh, yeah, okay, that was our first one a long time. So, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
if he doesn't get that this year, then he can't say that. Then he'll just be like, hey, but remember, we almost came back against Oklahoma State.
You know what? I contradict myself a lot because I say that people need to stop rushing Manny Diaz's rebuild of Miami.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, like, I think you just said it perfectly. Like, his team right now Like, it's his third year. Like,
yeah.
And he has a team that is set up to win 10 games this year. Like, it, yeah. it's his. God, I'm nervous and I'm stressing and I'm angry because we've been down this road so many times where,
yeah,
like I, why are we playing Alabama week one?
Dude, the coaching staff just needs to separate that from the rest of the season. Kind of like the Orange Bowl boys talked about that with the Clemson game last year. And I think it applies even better this year, you know, for obvious reasons. It's Alabama, right? And it's the first week of the season, you know? So, like, chances are we get our teeth kicked in pretty hard. The coaching staff just really needs to do some damage control after that and just be like, look, you know, like, that's behind us. Now let's go 11-0.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, I mean, because if we lose to Alabama, our goal of winning the Coastal and, you know, making it to a New Year's Six bowl game is not dead.
Yeah. I mean, dude, we could still go undefeated in the ACC. Mm-hmm. We could still, you know, because really, you lose to Alabama week one, your playoff chances are still very much alive.
Dude, and I'm not even thinking about playoff chances.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, I'm literally, like, I just want to win the Coastal.
Yeah.
Like, I because that top 25 poll has UNC at 14, and I think UNC is very good. And we were talking about this, and I think people are underselling UNC, but also look at them last year. Like, they lost to Florida State.
Yep.
Like, UNC could be a team that could drop a few.
Yeah, they could also be a team that actually wins the ACC and gets into the playoff, though.
Yeah, I think this is – because we also forget Trevor's gone at Clemson.
Yeah.
I mean, DJ is a hell of a quarterback.
He's like a freaking tank, dude. He's a – I don't know. Like, he's a battle axe.
Bro, I updated my rosters on NCAA 14, and I've just been playing with different schools, and I'm playing with Clemson right now, and DJ's really good. Or maybe I'm just really good.
I mean, he's like, what, 6'8" or something, like 240 pounds with a rocket arm?
Yeah, I think he's 6'6", 250.
Oh, my gosh.
Just a monster of a man.
He's but, like Ben Roethlisberger, except for in good shape.
Oh, Big Ben. But yeah, dude.
Did you see that?
And you cannot have a slip up before the UNC game. You cannot.
Yeah, absolutely not.
I'm pulling up the schedule and seeing who we play before UNC. I know we play App State week two, Michigan State week three, Central Connecticut week four, and then at home against Virginia. Okay, and then it's UNC. So four straight home games after Alabama for UNC. If you don't go 4-0 in that stretch,
we're in trouble, man.
We have problems.
Yeah, because if you're coming out of that UNC game and you are 3-3,
oh,
yeah, because you know, because if we drop, let's say Michigan State or NC State, which I think is, you know, like, we should win those games. I'm gonna, like, I will pick us to win those games. But I think it's not unreasonable to think that there's a chance we lose. We'd be 3-3, man, if we lost to UNC. That would be bad.
Yeah.
Because, dude, we know how this Hurricanes team and, you know, well, this Hurricanes program for the last 20 years has responded to that kind of adversity.
Not well.
Not well at all, man.
Yeah, so I mean, if we do lose to Alabama, I'm not saying that we will.
I mean, I
think we will, but like, they have to, like, have a meeting or something after that game and say, "Hey guys, that is not going to, like, determine our season."
Yep.
Like, you cannot beat yourselves down just because you lost to Alabama and, like, the whole season's gone. Because so many times in the past, one loss turns into, like, a shit season. When that season could have ended up very, you know, differently. Dude, I like one of our first episodes we did on this podcast. One of the first episodes we did on this podcast, the first time that Kaya came on, Brad was talking about his freshman year. They went into the Florida State game like 6-3 or 7-3 or something like that. And they lost to Florida State. And they like after that, they lost like three straight.
Yeah, dude, that became a trend. Is that like every time we lost, especially to Florida State, it would be a three game skid after.
Yeah, dude, Rick's first year, we came into that game like 5-0, lose to Florida State, and then we lost like four straight. And then Rick's final year, we lose to Virginia, and then we lose four straight after that.
Yep.
And this is why I know people like to like. They like to call me negative. I don't know why, but I'm not negative, but you guys just have to like understand where we're coming from.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just shooting from the hip here. Maybe it's that hype culture, man. Cause you know, maybe once the first time you lose, you're getting all hype. We're going to beat Florida State, whatever. And then you lose. And then it's like, oh, I was clearly delusional. Right. And then there's nothing left in the tank. Like, there's no grind to it, you know?
Yeah. Dude, you're like, just depleted.
Yeah. It's the season shouldn't be hype. It should be like ready for a grind, you know?
Yeah. Bro, dude, I mean, freaking the UNC game last year just took it out of me.
Oh,
like, I went from sky high to in the shitter. And you and I feel like we're depressed about the Canes for the next 2 months. Like we were so bitter.
Yeah.
Every episode we did, we were angry.
Yeah.
And honestly, like I'm still recovering.
Yep. And you know, people were not happy with me because I didn't think we should play the game anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. I predicted that we were going to win that game and win big. I said that on this podcast.
I can't remember exactly what my prediction was, but I think I called it a toss-up, but I did not feel very good about the game at all.
I was so confident heading into that game.
Yeah.
I'm such a fool.
I either predicted a loss or a toss-up, but I did not. I mean, there's a reason why I wanted to skip the game, why I felt like it was in the best interest of the program to not play.
Yeah. I just remember sitting in the stadium with our boy AB.
Hey.
And I was coming off my pregame drunk.
Yeah.
And my pregame buzz, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, my God, we this is really happening. And the funny thing is, Blake James was sitting like right behind us.
Nice.
And I'm like, you bastard. You did this.
Speaking of AB, let's give him a plug really quick. We haven't been very good at this. So, great guy. And you guys probably know him from Stickers by AB. Make sure you're checking them out. He's been posting some cool shirts lately, man.
Bro, he's got some fire.
Yeah.
Fire merch.
Great guy. Good friend of both of us. One of my favorite people that I've met in the last 2 years. So make sure you're supporting him. He's one of the best parts of Canes fam. So
check him out. Absolutely. Dude, my next question, which games are you going to this year if you are going to a game?
Well, I had some changes of plans. So I was planning on doing the Michigan State game. And then when I tried to pitch that to my wife, it turned into a Disney World trip instead. So that didn't go very well. And now I'm trying to buy a house right now.
So we may have to wait till 2022.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna do what I can. I'm gonna try to make it November, but I've you know,
Disney, hey, zippity doodah.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have even been married a year by the time I was gonna go to South Florida by myself and go see a Canes game and drop a few thousand dollars on the whole experience. And, you know,
happiest place on earth.
I know. My wife was just like, take me to Disney World instead. And I was like, okay, I will.
All right, honey.
So,
okay. So the rankings came out. Another thing I want to talk about, so State of the U, the website I write for, someone wrote, I'm going to see who wrote this article. I've been bad at writing articles lately. I'm just so tired, and honestly, I don't know what to write about.
Can we get your boss on soon, Cam?
Yeah, hell yeah.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy, and he's a voice that I very much respect his opinion. Like, he's brilliant.
I love Cam.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cam is a very good man. Hell yeah, we can get him on. Dude, our boy Roe. From the OBB wrote this article. I haven't read it yet, but the title is so obviously everyone knows that Texas is trying, or someone is trying to get the gesture of the horns down for Texas outlawed or something like that, which is ridiculous in my opinion. Yeah. But Roe wrote an article saying, does the ACC need to ban the U down taunt?
So I don't know what Roe said. So, you know, I certainly wouldn't want my opinion to contradict what he has to say or whatever, right? Like, Roe's one of the good guys in Kane's Twitter, you know, so very much a lot of love and respect towards him. But I think that's, I don't know, I think it's a terrible idea. I don't see any problem with it. I mean,
It's not a big deal.
Do I get pissed when I see the clip of Marquise Williams doing that to us? Yeah, it gets me fired up. Like, I want to run through a wall. And, you know, I wish I was playing linebacker on that team, right? Because it just, you know, but I think it's harmless. It's harmless. It's part of the game. It's part of competition. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Bro, it's never like even the Marquise Williams thing, like, I'm like, ah, we were getting our ass kicked anyway. Like,
yeah,
what are
I hate it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, there's nothing that pisses me off more than seeing that happen when we're losing. But like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like that's extremely soft to want
it's
to
so
get that
soft. And the fact that Texas, it's Texas, like,
yeah,
like, you'd think that like they're the anti like cancel culture.
Yeah.
Right. And like, they're getting pissed off because they do horns down. Oh, yeah. Boo frickety who.
Right.
Like, what are you going to like? I just don't think it's a big deal. And then I think a month ago, Wesley Bissainth was doing his visit at FSU and he had a picture doing the upside down. I'm sure you saw that.
Yeah. Well, dude. Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously it wasn't his idea.
Yeah. Is there any update on him? I mean, is he going to end up committing here? I saw you got a crystal ball.
I think it's our battle to lose right now.
Really? That's good to hear.
I'd be pretty confident about Wesley Bissainth. Also hear that we're still the leader with Shamar Stewart, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, I would have never, if we got him in this class, I'd be incredible. But anyway, like, when Wesley did that, it pissed a lot of people off. And I came out and said, I like, it's not a big deal to me. Like,
yeah,
obviously it wasn't his idea. He's not a Hurricane hater.
Yeah.
And so, well, like, why would he like by himself do that? But in fact, like, it just didn't bother me. And people were outraged. They're like, oh, we don't want this kid anymore. And I'm like, grow the hell up. You are a grown ass man saying that.
Yeah.
It's just never like,
I kind of had a wait and see attitude, you know. It was like, I was waiting for him to speak out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's 17, right? Like, I look back on some of the things that I said to people as a 17-year-old, and I'm like, why was I such an idiot? You know, like, did I totally lack awareness and empathy for other people at that point, you know?
Yeah. Dude, I look back at some of the pictures I posted when I was in high school. I'm like, my God.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Once he kind of said, like, hey, no hard feelings, like, it was kind of a high-pressure situation, then it was, you know, all good. You know what I mean? But, I don't know. I have no problem with him. I think we need him, you know?
Hell yeah, we need him.
Some people were kind of grumpy with me because I made a joke about our linebacker recruiting after that 3-star kid committed. Which
Justin Medlock?
Yeah, I haven't watched his film. I've heard he's actually really good. I just made a joke about our linebacker recruiting, and I think people thought I was talking specifically about this kid, Justin Medlock. And it was very not personal.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, hey, a three-star linebacker, you know, on paper, that's a great fit for us or whatever, you know.
Wait, like, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's like, people need to understand our humor.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so sarcastic and people still don't realize that.
Yeah. But, you know, people just want to say what they want to say, right? Because, like, you know, then people are like, hey, but this kid's good. It's not about stars. But then a lot of those same people are like telling me about blue chip ratio and stuff. Yeah. Well, I mean, which is it?
And the fact of the matter is, stars matter.
Yeah,
they do. If stars didn't matter, then
I feel like the ranking system's getting more and more accurate as time goes on, too. Just because of media exposure. You know, like, dude, back in, like, 1996 when Ray Lewis was an unranked recruit,
Yeah.
Nobody. Like, how do you know that Ray Lewis exists with no internet? I mean, you know, maybe I'm just naive to how the world worked before it, but you know.
No, and people always want to bring up that Ed Reed was a two-star. I'm like, that was in 1996.
Yeah.
Like, do you realize how much like recruiting has changed and exposure has changed? Like, it's not that was damn near. That was more than 20 years ago. Like it's just a different game, but yeah, obviously stars matter. If they like, why do you think Alabama and Oklahoma, Ohio State, Clemson, they're in the playoff every year?
Yeah, I agree.
Like the best player, like obviously you're gonna get some players that, I mean, Zion Nelson, he's a two-star recruit, and now he very well could be a first-round draft pick. Like there are many cases where, you know, lower-ranked players defy the odds and you know, kick ass, but the overwhelming or like the, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Rankings are getting more and more accurate as time goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But our recruiting class, let me start off. I mean, you guys have heard me say this. I hate recruiting. Like Jordan and I, we're not recruiting guys.
Yeah.
I just can't keep up with it. It's too much. And there's an edit being dropped every 2 minutes. And
these kids ain't loyal, man.
Like these fans act like these kids owe them something.
Yeah.
And it's just so, I was talking about this last night on a Zoom. Like I could not imagine, like if I was like a 4 or 5 star recruit, like, and like having to deal with not only like writers like on 247 Sports, like all those websites reaching out to you constantly, but also like on social media, like being tagged and like talked about, like, and you're 16, 17 years old, that would be hell.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like, that would be horrible.
Yeah, it'd be rough.
Yeah. Like looking back on it now, I feel so bad that I did the Garcia to the U thing, because that was the most annoying. Even I found that annoying.
Yeah.
I feel you. But I mean, we got him, but like, whatever. but yeah,
after Garcia wins a Heisman for us, are they going to build a statue of you?
They're going to build a statue. They're going to freeze frame my gif when I'm jumping into the pool, and
yeah,
they're gonna build a statue like with my snapback and everything.
I've always noticed that, dude. You jumped onto the pool vacuum. Did that hurt?
Dude, I never noticed that until you brought that up.
Yeah, because like, I mean,
I jumped right into it.
Yeah, because like my parents have a pool, and like that, it's hard plastic. Like it does not feel good to hit that pool vacuum when you jump in.
I just remember it was in December. And it was, and the water was cold as hell. And I like my hoodie was ruined.
Yeah.
So Jake, you better deliver.
Or you owe me $80.
Or you owe me a new hoodie from H&M.
Yeah.
But yeah, recruiting. I mean, people were worried about this class, but I think it's starting to heat up now. We got, since we recorded this, Ibieta actually committed the day after we recorded our last episode.
Credit to Manny. I know I'm typically a guy that like preaches caution on the coaching staff, but credit to Manny, I actually wasn't very worried about this class because Manny has done a very solid job recruiting since he's been the head coach.
Yeah, I I kept telling people, I'm like, guys, like, it's a long time before early signing day.
Yeah. And, you know, I have issues with the way that we had recruited corner. I know that that's changing a little bit in this class. And the linebacker position really, really desperately needs some blue chip guys.
Mm-hmm. But look at our cornerback recruiting right now. So
yeah.
Kamari Rogers and Chris Graves, and then Traquan Fagans, who is a top 15 cornerback in this class. He is taking his visit to Miami next weekend, and I think he's committing on the 28th or something like that. Yep. And if 3 4-star cornerbacks in one cycle, and the season hasn't even started yet. Like, I feel like I'm living in a fantasy land.
Yep. All you can do to that is give a tip of the cap to the coaching staff. You know, like,
bro, T-Rob.
Yeah, I'm not a guy that needs to double down on my takes when I'm proved wrong, right? Like, I've been complaining about cornerback recruiting for a year and a half now, and you know what? If they fix it with this class, then I'm happy. That's all I want. All I want is for the team to be good.
Yeah. So, and if this class, because I feel like we have a lot of depth on the offensive side of the ball for the future.
Yeah, agreed.
Like the last few classes, we really took care of like quarterbacks and running back receivers. Now we need to do the same thing on defense.
Yeah.
I mean, we started last year with obviously with our safety room, and then we got Leonard Taylor. But now you got to add those cornerbacks. You have to add a Wesley Bissanes.
Yeah.
And then if you can get Shamar Stewart.
Yep. And we need to keep going at D-tackle too. I mean, Leonard Taylor is definitely like a tent pole type of recruit, you know, like I'm not trying to take away from him because he's a legit 5-star guy that could, you know, be a program changer. But like, find a great dude to pair him with, you know, like don't stop there because we've really struggled at defensive tackle since Gerald Willis left.
Bro, Daniel Lyons from Homestead. Yeah. He is the guy. If like Gabby Urrutia, like I think he actually talked about it on this show, like he is really big on him. And so he's a must get.
Hey, if Gabby says it, that's good enough for me, man.
Exactly. I trust Gabby. And so
absolutely.
Right. And get Shamar. I don't think we're going to get Nigel E. Kelly, but I think he's going to Clemson. Mm-hmm. You got to get a few more and just load up on defense, man.
Yeah. Dude, we're going to lose a lot of talent after this year, man.
But also, which of the guys from the 2021 class are going to step up next year? I think James Williams does.
Yeah, I think now that – oh, we didn't even talk about Avante Williams, man.
Dude, that's just a sad situation.
Yeah. You just got to be smarter than that, man.
It's just unfortunate, man. And like the fact that he's like 20 years old.
Yeah.
And that happened.
Yep.
It's just crazy, like how quickly, like things can change. Like a week ago, we're talking like that Avante is going to be the next great safety at Miami, and now, like he could. I'm not going to go into like.
I mean, he's not even on the team. Yeah.
Yeah. What he's going to be charged with or anything like that. But like his life was just altered.
Yeah. Dude, you got to be smarter than that, man. Like, who knows what happened? Who knows, you know, what was going on between him and his girl? But dude, like, you just can't manhandle a pregnant woman, you know? Like,
you can't do that. That is. That is just a very sad situation.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know what? Next guy up, maybe. I mean,
James Williams. Yeah.
Yeah, Cam Kitchens. I think we could see those guys.
Maybe
even Keyshawn Washington.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to AB on the phone the other day actually, and we were talking about just the Avante situation. And I said like. Thank goodness we were, you know, because Avante had neck issues, right? So I think the coaching staff was kind of approaching the recruiting classes like Avante may or may not ever play here. And thank goodness that we did that because we got Cam Kitchens, you know?
Yeah.
So I mean, that looks brilliant now in retrospect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And maybe, you know, who knows, like maybe this can open up a door to go harder at Kamari Wilson.
Yeah.
Who is my favorite player in this recruiting class. But yeah, that's a shitty, that's, that made me very like upset when I read that.
Yeah.
Just very upsetting.
Dude, someone brought up our track record with five-star recruits is so bad. Like, even the ones that we land, like, dude.
Avonte wasn't a five-star, was he?
Was he not? I thought he was.
I think he was the number one safety in his class, but I think he was a four-star.
Okay. But, I mean, just think about our track record, dude. Like, think about the five-star kids that we have had come through here. Like, we're not shooting a very high percentage on those kids working out.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. I mean, Chad Thomas was like solid, you know, but that's kind of, yeah.
I forgot Chad Thomas was a five star.
Yeah.
I mean, Duke Johnson.
Yeah. Duke was great.
Duke was great. But then like even
who's that tight end from Texas?
Elijah Arroyo?
No, we had a tight end from Texas that was like an elite athlete. He committed here and then he ended up never even playing college football D1.
I don't know.
I can't think of his name right now, but
I mean Willie Williams back in the day, and then
Chantrell Henderson. He was solid, but you know, kind of a Chad Thomas, like
Kyle Wright.
Yeah.
I mean, how many five stars were in that 2008 recruiting class alone?
Who's the kid that transferred to Kansas State?
Robert Marv?
No, he was like the number one linebacker or something, played here for a year and then transferred to Kansas State.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Oh, what's his name?
Yeah.
Who the hell was that? I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Tracy Howard.
Yeah. Oh geez, that's, dude, we're struggling to recall the names of the five star kids that we landed.
Even Tate Martell.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, but no, Jalen Phillips. We were good with that.
Yeah, dude, I love Jalen.
He's great.
I'm very.
Happy I was with so Greg wrong Rousseau about him. The Bills. And dude, he proved me wrong, and I am so happy.
Dude, that is one, like that's one that I get to take a victory lap on. I'm so. You know, I mean, obviously, it's just guesswork at that point, right? But that's the time that I guessed correctly. So I'm definitely going to pat myself on the back for that one forever. So
yeah, I was wrong. I was wrong about that. And then I was also wrong about D. Wiggins having a big year last year.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Dark days for our podcast because we were both all about it.
He's going to have 1,000 yards.
Oh yeah, dude. I was all about it. I was like, of course he's gonna have 1,000 yards.
Yeah, dude, yeah. The Lashley offense, he's gonna catch 8 passes a game. Yeah. Like he's the next deep ball threat at Miami. He's the next big thing. I think he didn't even crack like 400 yards.
Dude, I was so overly confident about that, I probably would have put money on it. I was like, yeah, of course. Why would he not go for 1,000 yards? It's ridiculous that you don't think he would.
Yeah, what are you, a hater?
You think I'm an idiot? You're the one that does.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you insult me? Oh, the D. But we did get it right on Gilbert Frierson.
That's true.
That's our boy.
Yeah, dude. He very well could be the best player on our defense this year.
I think he already is.
Yeah, I think odds are high.
I think Tyreek Stevenson. Yeah. Is going to become the best player on defense.
Yeah, I think between Bubba, Gill, and Tyreek Stevenson, one of those three will be the best player on our defense. But, you know, I think currently, as is, Frierson is the best right now. But that could change. But I only think it would change to Bubba or Tyreek.
Yeah. Gilbert will be here next year, most likely, so that's good.
Yeah. Unless he shows out. But he's kind of a tweener, though. I wonder if having to play the striker position is going to make it harder to transition to the NFL, because it's kind of a tweener role, you know?
Well, what did Isaiah Simmons play at Clemson?
Everything.
Yeah, okay. I think that's what we're going to do with James Williams, honestly.
Yeah.
We better not screw that up.
Yeah, I hope
not. I was talking about that with Canes fans last time. Like, if we screw up the development of James Williams and Leonard Taylor, there will be hell to pay.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's almost the season, man.
Yep.
We're almost there. Okay, what else do we – anything else we got to go over?
I can't think of anything. I got to pee really bad, so.
Okay, all right. Well, hey, yeah. Next episode, before fall camp, we're gonna go over fall camp, just kind of preview offense and defense. And then, just like last year, we're going to get into, like, the game-by-game predictions. So hold cool. on to your hats and button up your cargo shorts. Let's get nuts.
That's right. That's right.
Let's get all nuts. Right. All right. Okay, we'll talk to you guys later. Go Canes.
Go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like,